Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear the latest from our friends at the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans, and we'll discuss the hidden benefits of hiring veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I want to extend my warmest greetings and best wishes to the men and women of the United States Armed Services, their families, and the citizens of Minnesota. There have been many times in history when Americans in uniform spent the holiday season on battlefields or stationed at posts far from home. I know the holidays are especially difficult for those service members who are unable to spend it with their loved ones. These troops sacrifice their holidays so that fellow Americans can safely enjoy theirs. In doing so, they are part of a tradition that dates back to our nation's founding. I hope that all of you who are putting your lives at risk every day for our country feel the pride, the affection, and admiration of your fellow citizens. It is your courage that preserves the freedom we inherited from our forefathers. It is your sacrifice and that of your predecessors in uniform that enable Americans to enjoy a safe and peaceful holiday. To the service members of Minnesota who watch over our nation, I thank you for your service, and I pray for your safe return home. To the families who share their loved ones to defend our great nation, I thank you for your sacrifices and support. Have a safe and happy holiday. God bless you.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans Organization is the Adjutant, Stephan Whitehead.
Well, good morning, Tom.
Stephan, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
That's glad to be back.
Who'd you bring with you today?
I brought one of my lovely employees here. He works up at St. Cloud VA, Trent Dilks. He's actually my hospital service coordinator up there.
Trent, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Stephan, there's a lot of us, and we're on some news channels out there. We just picked up another channel up in Albany, Minnesota, 105.5 FM, and some of those folks up there might not be too familiar with the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans, DAV. Can you tell them what that organization is all about?
I sure can, Tom. The DAV of Minnesota here is a veteran service organization that we are, our service actually provides additional services to our disabled veterans, our comrades that have provided the ultimate sacrifices to protecting our freedom, that helping them with anywhere from free services to helping them with their claims, to transportation, to their VA medical appointments, to getting them back out in the outdoors. And we have 30 chapters across the state of Minnesota that will help them with any local assistance they may need as well.
And how many members are you up to now?
We're up to about 20,000 strong now, Tom.
In Minnesota?
Just in Minnesota alone. In nationwide, we're over 1.2 million members.
And Stephan, the Minnesota DAV is a member of the Commander's Task Force.
Yeah, correct. We're a member of the Commander's Task Force, which is a group of nine veteran service organizations that come together once a month to talk about all of the veterans' issues or things that we need to bring in front of our legislation to make sure that our legislators are understanding what our veterans here in Minnesota truly need help with, and how what they do and what they decide is a huge, is really important to what we do.
And I'm sure being the end of the year with the legislative session coming up for next year, you guys are getting ready to figure out what your priorities are to take up to the Hill.
That is correct. We're doing a lot of preparation right now. We actually just sent our agenda to the press, so we actually can start handing out our brochures to everybody so they can see what our key issues are this year that we want to bring up.
And in an upcoming show, I think we're having Peggy Moon on, who's the current president of the Commander's Task Force this year, and she's going to come on and tell us all about those initiatives that you're going to work on this year.
And that is correct. And Peggy's been doing a wonderful job for us, you know, being the first female commander of American Legion, but also the leader of our Commander's Task Force. She's doing an outstanding job at letting the legislators know how important this is, you know, that we're not walking away and we're not letting them forget about who the veterans are.
And you're essentially adding your membership to the American Legion, the VFW, the Purple Hearts, the Jewish War Veterans, all of the memberships together and representing those folks up at the Capitol.
Correct. You know, the Big Nine is what we call it, you know, that represents, you know, majority, if not all, of our veterans in the state of Minnesota. So we're the voices for our veterans. And we, you know, we come together as one to make sure that the legislators know that we're all unified on our same messages.
So for all our veterans out there listening today, if you don't belong to a veteran service organization and your reason for not doing it is because you're too busy at work, you're too busy here and there, go join one anyway and add your voice to the numbers that are being represented up on the Hill to make sure that we're looking out for the interests of our veterans.
Absolutely.
Trent, we haven't come back over to you. Stefan's always got a lot to say to me. Can you tell me about your position with the Minnesota DAV?
Sure. Up in St. Cloud there, I coordinate our transportation operations, field the calls from veterans who might be facing challenges getting into their appointments. And then also work with the volunteers. We've got a great group of volunteers throughout the state of Minnesota that operate our transportation, drive our vehicles, pick our veterans up.
We're speaking with Stefan Whitehead, the adjutant of the Minnesota DAV, and Trent Dilks from the DAV on Minnesota Military Radio. Stefan, we might as well dive right into transportation. You've got Trent here. It's one of your biggest initiatives, isn't it?
It is, and it actually has been a big initiative of ours for the last couple of years, but we really wanted to expand our transportation program because there's such a huge need out there in the whole state of Minnesota of helping our veterans get to their medical appointments. You know, some of the areas that we're looking at right now, this big initiative here come up in 2015 is going to be the Northeast Territory of Minnesota, which is going to be covering Cook, Lake Counties, Couchetin County, St. Louis County, those, you know, four or five counties up there, which is a long travel down here to Minneapolis when they come to their appointments, you know, establishing a brand new transportation program up there so they can get some free transportation down to Minneapolis.
Now, you were telling me earlier that includes some vans for the Arrowhead area to bring them down into Duluth and then put them on a bus and bring them down to Minneapolis?
Yeah, because of that robust, you know, system up there and such a long distance, we're looking at having four different vans, two of them that will actually bring them to a hub in Duluth, and we'll get them into a bigger van and bring them down here to Minneapolis so those vans can actually reach out to be and, you know, pick up more veterans.
So all the fundraising that you do all year long helps you to be able to go out and pay for these vans. They aren't cheap, are they?
No, they're not cheap at all. These fundraisers that we do, it's extremely important to thank the donors that actually help us with these fundraisers to help purchase the vans. These vans, you know, last year we bought three brand new vans, and, you know, the price tag on, you know, all said and done, we're just shy of $100,000 when we're down just those three. And then on top of that, we bought a brand new bus, which was an additional $65,000. You know, so transportation is a huge expense, but it's also very important that we do these fundraisers and actually get these veterans to their appointments.
Sounds like you better fundraise a lot this year or to pay the bills. Trent, you supply the vans, but you've got volunteers for drivers, don't you?
Absolutely, and we have volunteers driving all of our vehicles across the state. This year, they're going to do over 1 million miles for us again, and 18,000 appointments they'll bring their veterans to here in Minnesota.
So who are these volunteers? Where do you find them?
You know, they come from all over. We get a lot of people who are retired, veteran and non-veteran, that are looking for a way to give back and to help out the veterans in need.
And if there's somebody out there in our listenership that's interested in becoming a volunteer driver, what do they do?
They can contact one of the DAV offices or the VA Medical Center Voluntary Services, and they'll start the process and get them through it.
Or they can go to davmn.org, and on your webpage, there's a place to apply, as I saw yesterday, I believe.
That's right.
Now, when are you going to start taking calls from drivers from the Northwest or Northeast Territory?
We're going to start the recruiting on that as early as we can. A major program like that's going to take a lot of volunteers, a lot of dedication, and as soon as people are interested in it, we can start taking it and start looking at the process of getting them through.
Okay, so anybody that's hearing us up in Duluth, if you're interested in volunteering your time to drive one of those vans and help our veterans get to their medical appointments, go to davmn.org and get started on that process. Stefan, I think you told me also that up in the St. Cloud area, you're looking for some drivers.
That's correct, Tom. St. Cloud is an area that is really growing. We're looking for a lot of volunteers up there because of how we're trying to expand that program. Right now, we're currently only having like three or four volunteers right now to operate our vans. So they're, you know, being overwhelmed right now with, you know, coming and driving. And the more help we can get, the better. So if anybody up in that St. Cloud area wants to help and become a volunteer, you know, please reach out to us. You know, as Tom has just said, you know, going to our website, davmn.org, and let us know. And we'll get you hooked up. And, you know, it's a volunteer. So even if it's only a couple hours a week, that couple hours is a huge help for us.
So I would guess they don't have to be a veteran.
No, it's open to anybody. Anybody that wants to volunteer, veteran or non-veteran, female, male, it doesn't matter. We'll take anybody that wants to volunteer.
clean driving record. And
Yeah. The VA does the actual background check on it. So that's all in the VA system because they're actually a volunteer for the VA. But I mean, even if you're in question, you know, we always encourage people to, you know, sign up. And because if they can't drive, we can maybe use their volunteer services somewhere else in the system.
All right, gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your outdoors program and some more about volunteering to help DAV Minnesota. We're speaking with Stefan Whitehead and Trent Dilks from the DAV Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Stefan Whitehead and Trent Dilks from the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans Organization. Stefan, we talked a little bit about what your organization is all about, but one of the primary things I think that you started out doing was helping your members with VA claims and benefits.
Correct. We have a phenomenal team that works with benefits over at the Whipple Building, the federal building over there. You know, one thing that's really nice about our service officers over there that deal with that, you know, each one of those members have to go through some specialized training, which is actually at the level of a college level degree, to really make sure that they truly understand, you know, when a veteran comes in and they start talking about these issues and concerns that they have, that they can relate and actually know where to go to helping that veteran get to everything that they have earned and have the right to. So they have a phenomenal team over at the Whipple Building.
So actually the process is for a veteran to go see their county veteran service officer, check in with their discharge certificate, their DD-214. Yep. The county veteran service officer will help them get the claim started, and then your people will help them process the claim and make sure it turns out right.
Absolutely. So when they want to meet with the county veteran service officer from whatever county they're at, they actually will be asked by the county veteran service officer who they would like to represent them with the VA system. You know, it's actually, the terminology is called the power of attorney. Basically, the service organization will follow the process all the way through the VA till they're actually either approved or disapproved the process. And so we just encourage the veteran to recommend that they go with the DAV, knowing that the staff that will represent them will do the best they, you know, to their ability and see it all the way through. And obviously, if it's, you know, denied, they have a great process to, you know, opening it back up and, you know, making sure that that goes all the way through.
And Stefan, another area that I think picked up speed last year was your exchange of durable medical equipment.
Yeah, that durable medical equipment is also called the Donor Connect program that we call it, is wonderful. This year alone, we just got a report back here last week. We actually gave away or donated $750,000 worth of equipment between donors of people that needing medical equipment that, you know, they maybe can't get at the VA medical center or stuff like that. This is a free service that we offer to our veterans and their families. Because of how the system works, you know, some veterans may be in need of a wheelchair or, you know, a hospital bed or something like that, but they're not able to get that free from the service or from the VA. They contact us and we, you know, we have a list of equipment that people no longer need, you know, that either the family wants to get rid of it because their loved one has passed away or that veteran has improved their health that they no longer need it. We make a list and we connect it to another donor, another veteran or the family that need it. And it's just been a wonderful program and it's been growing great.
Including some canes this year, I understand.
This canes hurricane was a phenomenal donation this year. I mean, I was just surprised at, you know, the volume that we got. We had over 10,000 hurricanes donated to the DAV of Minnesota here this year that we've been handing out to veterans all across the state, to include some other states have actually contacted us because of our website that they want some. Hurricane donated them to us, and we've just been using the county veteran service officers, our membership, and everything. Anybody that needed a cane, we've been able to get them a cane, and that cane has just been a lifesaver for a lot of our veterans.
Hurricanes. And yeah, we're talking to Stefan Whitehead and Trent Dilks from Minnesota DAV on Minnesota Military Radio. And Stefan, I know we wanted to talk about your outdoors program because that's growing a great deal too.
Yeah, we actually have a couple of great events coming up here, one in January and one in February that we're going to take veterans up ice fishing. We're going to take a trip up to Lake of the Woods for a week and another one over to Upper Red Lake. And it's a free service to veterans. Again, it's something that we want to let these veterans that maybe no longer feel that they can get out there and enjoy the outdoors, we want to make sure that they know they can because living here in Minnesota, that's one thing we get accustomed to is the outdoors and the lovely weather we deal with. So we want to make sure they know.
Trent, are you going along to help on those trips?
You know, I'm trying to get on one of them. I think they might need a little extra assistance up there on the lake. So
you can drill some holes in the ice?
Yep.
All right, you got a volunteer right
All
there.
All right, well, that's great.
And I know that you've added some hunting organization or some hunting, outdoors hunting programs, turkey, pheasant, deer, goose.
Yep, we just got done doing a goose hunt here down in Rochester where we actually took five different veterans down there, and it was a nice chilly day because I went down there and took some pictures of it. But we're actually just any program other that veterans want to get involved with. We're always open to any idea that veterans want to be involved with, and we'll put something together.
So you got a lot of new programs coming in your outdoors program. Did we miss anything?
I know, that's a lot of our programs right there.
A lot of your programs, and some of them. Did you have an annual fall hunt up at Camp Ripley?
Yeah, we actually, the deer just didn't want to cooperate this year with us. We actually had 52 disabled veterans participate in it. We actually partnered this year with also the deployed soldiers this year. So grand total of hunters was 150 some people hunting, and only harvested, I think, just over 15 deer. I think it's 15 or 16 deer was only harvested. So it was the deer didn't cooperate.
We'll have to talk to Colonel St. Sauer next year and have him chase a few more in the area.
Yeah, that'd help us.
Once again, we're speaking with Stefan Whitehead and Trent Stilks from the Minnesota DAV on Minnesota Military Radio. Stefan, you're always fundraising and you're always doing more and more activities. You still have your clothing donations?
We still have our clothing donations, and people can see those green bins out there that have the DAV Minnesota logo on it. We encourage anybody that has any extra household goods or clothing that they no longer need to please think about giving to the DAV, because that product that we receive is actually what helps fund our programs that we do for veterans.
And Trent, when it comes to volunteer programs, you are looking for drivers, right?
We're looking for drivers, volunteers who might be interested in, if they can't drive, assistant driving to ride along, keep the drivers awake, those sorts of things. So
you've got those vans going every day?
We've got them going every day. When a volunteer can't come in, I might have to go out and drive and split duty between the office. So
you don't send the adjutant out to do that, though, do you?
No, not yet. Once he gets cleared to be a volunteer, though, we got him.
Stefan, what have we missed on your volunteer program? Who do you need, where and when and why?
Volunteers are needed everywhere. We actually have our events that we do, our outdoor events. We're always looking for volunteers there up in the local areas wherever we're going. Volunteers of the VA, volunteers for any of our fundraising. So anybody interested in, please just contact us, and we'll let you know what we have going on, and hopefully it'll fit into their schedule.
So if you get a chance, for our listeners out there, go to davmn.org. Take a look at that website. There's a lot of information there about all the programs that the Minnesota DAV engages in every year. And if you're interested in being a volunteer, click on that volunteer section. And you'll probably get over to Trent, and he'll sign you up to change tires or something, right?
Yep, I'll get them signed up. They get over to me, and we'll get them doing something.
And right now, you really need some drivers up in the St. Cloud area.
Absolutely. St. Cloud has a large need for drivers. We've got a lot of veterans who'd like to get in, and we need to get some drivers behind the wheel so we can continue our services.
Stefan, I think we covered a lot of your programs. What did we leave out?
Tom, I think, I just keep highlighting all I go back to transportation. This year, in 9 months, we've driven over 1 million miles already, transported over 18,000 veterans. There's a huge need out there, and this transportation program, is a big focus of ours because we have a lot more to do. So, people want to help us. That's an area they definitely can help us with.
Stefan, DAV in Minnesota must be about the most active veteran service organization in the state.
If we're not, we're definitely close to the top. We all have the same mission, initiative in taking care of veterans, and that's something that the DAV is very proud of, and that's something that's always forefront in our mind is how can we take care of our veterans?
We just got about a minute left, Stefan. What's in the future? What are you going to do next?
Well, our next big thing we have coming up here, actually, Trent and I will be heading to Washington, D.C. We have our midwinter conference coming up to talk with our federal legislation about the federal bills that they'll be pushing forward. And then our national commander will be visiting us here in May for our actual state convention. So we're really excited about that coming up here. That's first weekend in May. The national commander will be here for 3 or 4 days to see all the great things that Minnesota's doing.
So another big year coming up for DAV Minnesota.
That's what we like.
All right. Good luck, guys. Thanks for coming in to talk to us today.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us.
That was Stefan Whitehead and Trent Dilks from Minnesota DAV on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll discover the hidden benefits of hiring veterans.
Hello, I'm Chaplain Buddy Wynn. Famed writer Agnes Farrell once wrote, "What is Christmas? It is tenderness for the past, courage for the present, and hope for the future. It is a fervent wish that every cup may overflow with blessings rich and eternal, and that every path may lead to peace." Sacred text says that the Savior will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. My prayer is that God would grant us peace which transcends all understanding wherever we may find ourselves this holiday season.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll discover the hidden benefits of hiring veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
During the holiday season of giving and sharing, we at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs express our heartfelt thanks to our veterans and the men and women in uniform who continue to protect us. This is a wonderful time of the year and another great opportunity to reflect on our mission of caring for veterans and their families. Best wishes for a wonderful holiday season and a new year of health and happiness. The best part of the season is remembering those who make holidays special. Join me as I take a moment to remember the families who are missing a veteran this holiday season. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Jason Mazaros, the author of the book Interrogation of Morals and Hiring Veterans. Jason, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Jason, I understand that you were in the military.
I was. I was a captain and spent about 15 years in the Army Reserve, but I was a very active reservist. I spent the last probably 7 or 8 years deployed quite frequently and doing a lot of really fun stuff.
And while you were in the reserves, what was your civilian occupation in those days?
I was a technology manager, so I managed computer systems, which also happened to come in very handy when I was in the military deployed.
I'll bet it did. Today you can't do without it, can you?
Exactly.
Tell me about the book, Interrogation of Morals and Hiring Veterans.
So the book is really a memoir about my tour of duty in Afghanistan in 2004. I worked with a lot of special operations forces, most notably the 3rd Special Forces Group and SEAL Team 2, and we took down a huge number of Taliban commanders during my tenure there. It was a pretty exciting tour that culminated with taking down a gentleman named Rosie Khan, who was the number 3 Taliban commander in the country, depending on which org chart you looked at for the Taliban. But he was a pretty high ranking. He ran all of the military operations on the southern half of Afghanistan. And myself and my partner, who was an NCIS agent, and 2 Navy SEALs literally chased him up the side of a mountain and took him out.
How long was that tour?
I was in country about 8 months.
And were you out and about among everybody the whole time?
Absolutely. I went from, we were based out of Bagram, but I spent time multiple times in Kandahar, Organ E, Jalalabad, all over Kabul, all over Mazar. We went everywhere. We went with whoever was working on the cool projects at the time, if you will.
So did you blend in with the community and with the people?
We did. I had a beard that my wife didn't recognize me when I sent her pictures home. And we dressed in local garb half the time, wore civilian clothes. We blended. We drove rusty old black Toyota pickups. We didn't drive Humvees like most people. When we went out with a couple missions with SEALs, we went out in convoys, and they had their Humvees, but we typically went in our pickups or in a white Toyota Land Cruiser, which sticks out like a sore thumb, actually.
Now, you're kind of smiling and looking back on this and thinking about it. You must have enjoyed the tour.
I actually had despite a few extremely scary moments, it was a pretty rewarding tour. We went after, like I said, a lot of high-value targets, and we captured or killed a lot of them. So
it sounds like a fairly dangerous 8 months as well.
It had its moments. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Don't give away any secrets, Jason.
Exactly.
Now tell me, what prompted you to write this book?
You know, when I came home, I was really spending a lot of time reflecting on it and telling people some of the stories. And there's obviously, being an intel officer and, you know, having a top secret security clearance, there's only so much you can really talk about. So I talked about a few stories here and there, and most of them were unclassified or were now open source because they were covered by major media. For example, the Rosie Kahn mission was covered by 60 Minutes. Laura Logan from 60 Minutes was literally on the mission and filmed. They were down by the village, and we were up on the mountainside, and they actually filmed what happened from down below.
So there's really no security breach there.
Exactly. So I have to be very careful about what I talk about, and that's one that I can talk about freely. So
I'm sure you can. I've got some friends that were doing that in Vietnam, and they still won't tell me what they did.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're afraid of 40 years later, but we have to be careful, don't we?
Absolutely.
A part of your book, you talk about hiring veterans. How did you get interested in that, or was that personal? You were looking for work.
That's more personal. Over the last few years, I've gone through, I've been consulting. So finding the next gig is always a sort of an issue, if you will. And I spend time job searching, and I just came to a point where I said, I really need to come up with more of a strategy around how to get hired and what's preventing me from getting hired, and then be able to get over those objections. So really taking it a more sales-oriented focus on it and creating a strategy around that.
We're speaking with Jason Mazaros, a U.S. Army veteran, a business consultant, and author of the book Interrogation of Morals and Hiring Veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Jason, the whole idea of hiring veterans, we've got since September 11, 2001, we've got a whole generation of veterans that have come back from war and repeated deployments. And we keep interviewing people on this show about where do you find work? How do you put them back to work? They come back and maybe their employer went out of business, or maybe they didn't have a job before they left. And so many of them coming back that they all need to transition from the military to civilian. There seem to be a lot of resources available today.
There absolutely are a lot of resources. My focus is, and partly because of what I do as a consultant, is in the project management field. The parallels between a project manager and, you know, an NCO or a junior officer in the military are pretty clear, it's very easy to make that jump. So in a five paragraph op order, you're doing your command and control, your communications, your risks, your intel. And in a project plan, you're doing your timing, your resources, the risks. You're doing all the same things. So the planning aspect of it is very, very, it's an easy leap for veterans to make.
Well, one of the issues is to take your military experience and transform that into civilian language so that a potential employer can understand, you know, you weren't just over in Afghanistan driving around in trucks. What were you doing over there, and how many men did you command, and what kind of missions did you run, and all of those similar things that you did there can really help you when it comes to business if the business owner can understand the talents and the experience that you've had.
Absolutely. And I've spent a fair amount of time in the last probably 9 or 10 months coaching and mentoring veterans who have you know, come off active duty, come back from deployments. We look at their resumes, we kind of transform their resume from military speak into civilian language, and then coach them on how to interview, how to prep for the interview, what to do, and how to really make that, make themselves presentable
Employable.
Employable, exactly.
Jason, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the resources available for veterans to help them find that good position that they're all looking for. We're speaking with Jason Mazaros on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by Jason Mazaros, a business consultant, former U.S. Army member, and the author of Interrogation of Morals and Hiring Veterans. And we've been talking about hiring veterans and the resources available and why veterans make good employees. And Jason, we really didn't get into that military service and that discipline and commanding troops and going on missions and accomplishing things. When they come back, that's really why they make good employees. It's pretty easy to go to work for 8-10 hours a day when nobody's shooting at you, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, there's a core set of common skill sets that you see in every veteran when they come back. The leadership, communication, they're punctual, they're process and detail oriented, they're team players, they're reliable, they're accountable, they're trustworthy and honest. You can, you know, always, they're very direct as well, which some people view as a negative, but, and then they're, like, as you said, very disciplined. But veterans also have a number of differentiating skill sets. So when I look at resumes, and I've looked at a lot of resumes over the years as a hiring manager, I see a lot of people claiming to have all those same skills. You know, I'm a leader, I can communicate, things like that, I'm process oriented. But when you look at a veteran, you also see guys who can manage high stress situations. They've been in, there isn't a higher stress situation than when bullets are flying at you. They have situational awareness. They know what's going on around them. They know what other groups are doing, which is, in corporate America, you sometimes see managers who live in their own little world. They don't want to look at what the other departments are doing. And in this case, veterans are very aware of what other departments are doing, because in the military, you have to know what your surrounding units are doing. So it's, you have to have that situational awareness.
And you have to count on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They also are not afraid to confront challenges and solve problems. So that's something that I think makes veterans even more valuable, is they're A, not afraid to confront a challenge and take it on, and B, they're very easy to challenge and get them to raise the bar and take their productivity to the next level. And then, you know, you also see things like they're always going to have a higher fitness level. A lot of veterans take that daily PT regimen or physical training regimen and carry it over into their civilian life. And then veterans are very loyal. So if you get a veteran and you hire one, they're going to stick with you for a while as long as you take care of them and you're a good leader to them. They're going to stick around and they're going to do the best they possibly can for you.
We're speaking with Jason Mazaros, the author of Interrogation of Morals and Hiring Veterans, which is available on Amazon on Minnesota Military Radio. Jason, we know that most veterans that come back from combat deployments are fine, but there's a small minority that have some issues. And today the doctors know how to walk them through and fix the issues. What would you say to a hiring manager that has the attitude that veterans are damaged goods?
Oh, that's a very good question, and I see it happen actually quite a bit. In fact, I was on a call the other day, and I had a hiring manager tell me that he discounts when he sees a service-disabled veteran when they've got that called out on their resume, which blew me away, that that's a protected class, and if you put that in your resume, he's willing to set that resume aside and not hire that person. Blew me away that somebody would do that. But you're right, there's the damaged goods stigmas, if you will, of PTSD. There's also the stigma of, if I hire this guy, is he going to take off again? Is he going to deploy again? Especially for Guard and Reserve, that's a big issue. There's also a stigma that veterans are angry and, you know, they need anger management and things like that. And it's just not true. It's a very small percentage of veterans that actually hit that point. Most of them come back and adjust extremely well and are very good employees once they're hired.
So we would hope that the hiring managers out there would, if they don't believe us, they can talk to the doctors over at the VA healthcare system, because they've proven that there's a very small minority. Everyone comes back changed. There's a few that come back and have some problems, but the doctors have figured out how to help them and get them back into society and being productive citizens.
Absolutely.
Jason, we're running out of time. What's next for you? Do we see another book in your future?
Another interesting question, Tom. I've been working on for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years now, a fiction series about an Army intelligence officer that turns into the private sector as a... I know. It's
Why does this sound familiar?
to fight terrorism. So he basically forms his own counter-terror unit of ex-military and takes the fight to the terrorists outside of the government control.
So let's repeat, that's fictional.
It is very fictional, yes.
Comes from somewhere in your mind that you've been exploring on various days.
Absolutely.
Jason, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, if you want help with resumes and interviewing techniques, I'm available. I can point you to a whole slew of resources. Go to career fairs. They've got people there that will review your resumes at most of the career fairs. There's the the one put on by Deed that was last month. There's all kinds of career fairs all the time that are extremely helpful for veterans.
And open and available and well advertised these days.
So absolutely.
Give it a try. Jason, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is Jason Mazaris, the author of Interrogation of Morals and Hiring Veterans. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Ralph Huesner, the Public Affairs Officer. Ralph, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be here.
I understand you're filling in for the director today. He's a little under the weather.
Yes, he sends his regrets. Hopefully he'll be back on station tomorrow.
Well, let's get him healthy. He's got a lot of work to do out there, and I'm sure you keep him too busy, Ralph.
Absolutely.
What's going on at the Minneapolis VA?
We have some exciting news that came out of Washington last week regarding our Mankato community-based outpatient clinic. The President Obama has signed into law a bill that will rename the Mankato CBOC in honor of a Mankato resident and a World War II veteran by the name of Lyle Pearson. The folks in Mankato are very familiar with Mr. Pearson. He, during World War II, flew 50 combat missions over occupied territory in Europe until he was shot down over Italy in December of 1944. He was then incarcerated as a prisoner of war until he was freed 6 months later in May of 1945. So Mr. Pearson, who unfortunately passed away in January of 2013, is a true hero, and in honor of his service, the Mankato CBOC is going to be renamed. The bill that allowed the president to take this action was introduced earlier in the year by Congressman Tim Walz of Southern Minnesota, and it passed through the entire Congress with the support of all of the Minnesota congressmen. So we're excited about this. It is the first clinic, and we have 13 of these clinics, that is going to be named in honor of an individual. More to come on this. We plan to have an unveiling of the sign. We'll put up a plaque, and hopefully we'll have family members of Mr. Pearson at the event. Mr. Pearson does have a son who lives in the Mankato area. So we will be moving forward with renaming the Mankato CBOC the Lyle Pearson Community-Based Outpatient Clinic. So more to come on that.
What an honor for Mr. Pearson, and kudos to Congressman Walz, the former Sergeant Major, for getting that done.
Absolutely. Also like to update the audience on the town hall forums that the VA has been holding. We started the forums in September. We held the first one here in Minneapolis, and then last week we held our second forum down in Rochester. This is a effort for the VA, both the VBA, the Veterans Benefits Administration, as well as the VHA, the Health Administration, to hear firsthand from veterans their concerns, their complaints, their issues. So we went down to Rochester, and heard from about 11 veterans of the 60 who turned out. We had 11 veterans and one wife of an OAFI veteran comment in the public setting. We had our leadership team down there and responded to concerns, questions, and there will be follow-up. This is a way to get out into the community, outside of the hospital, outside of the clinics, and to meet veterans, our stakeholders, and others in a more informal setting. Both of our first two forums, the one in Minneapolis in September and in Rochester, were well attended. We're going to hold our third forum in March. We'll be back in Minneapolis. We'll get the dates and the times out to veterans and others well in advance of the event. And then in the summer, we'll take the listening session up to northern Minnesota, probably Duluth or Superior, Wisconsin. And then we'll begin the cycle again. So we're going to make this a regular effort. It's part of a national mandate out of central office that we, the VA, get out and listen to our stakeholders to make sure that we are addressing their needs and concerns.
Ralph, the director, tells me every time he goes to one of those, he learns some things. So make sure you give us the dates, and we'll make sure we announce them on the air.
Absolutely. Although the popular media has been reporting on the forums of complaints and criticisms, and to be sure, we're concerned about that, but we've also heard compliments from veterans who think that their doctors and nurses are doing a good job. The other major event that I'd like to let listeners know about is that Wi-Fi is coming to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Wi-Fi is currently available in hotels, restaurants, coffee shops. We're going to make it available in the next within the next month. Our system will be in place, so when a veteran comes to the Minneapolis VA, they can go to 60 areas in the hospital and access the internet using their personal cell phone, their laptop. That way, they can do their business and while waiting. So we are excited to make the service available. We're going to have signage throughout the medical center, instructions on how to do it. We have been doing it in the last few years in very targeted areas, mostly in our polytrauma unit for our young OAF veterans who've been coming back, and that has been very helpful to allow them to continue to communicate with their combat buddies. But now it'll be available throughout the medical center, in the lobbies, in the flag atrium, and in the canteen.
That'll be great. Good work, Ralph. Please give our best to the director, and we'll look forward to talking to him next month.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Ralph Huesner, the public affairs officer from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Stefan Whitehead, Trent Dilk, Jason Mazeros, Ralph Huesner from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, Commissioner Larry Shelito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week for our annual Chaplains Roundtable to discuss how deployments affect our service members and their families during the year-end holidays. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.